By now, you've all heard of Italian Wine Unplugged 2.0, the latest book published by Mama Jumbo Shrimp. It's more than just another wine book. The fully updated second edition was inspired by students of the Vinitaly International Academy and painstakingly reviewed and revised by an expert panel of certified Italian wine ambassadors from across the globe. The book also includes an edition by Professore Attilio Scienza, Italy's leading vine geneticist. The benchmark producers feature is a particularly important aspect of this revised edition. The selection makes it easier for our readers to get their hands on a bottle of wine that truly represents a particular grape or region. To pick up a copy, just head to Amazon.com or visit us at MamaJumboShrimp.com.
Welcome to Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Listen in as we journey to some of Italy's most beautiful places in the company of those who know them best, the families who grow grapes and make fabulous wines. Through their stories, we will learn not just about their wines, but also about their ways of life, the local and regional foods and specialities that pair naturally with their wines, and the most beautiful places to visit. We have a wonderful journey of discovery ahead of us, and I hope you will join me. Welcome to Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Today it is my great pleasure to travel to the wine hills of the Valpolicella to visit one of Italy's most iconic wine estates, Masi Agricola, and to meet the president of the company, Dr. Sandro Boscaini. Buongiorno, Sandro. It's been such a long time since we last met, so it's a great pleasure to reconnect. Thank you very much for being my guest today. How are you?
Fine. Ciao, Mark. It's true. It's a long time that we cannot see each other. And although sometimes we had the possibility to chat each other, but unfortunately we lost 3 years of our life, you know. This happened everywhere in the world and even for us. Nevertheless, in that bad period of time, we had the chance to do a lot of things, including the celebration of our 250 harvest in Valpolicella.
That's a very exciting milestone. And I've been listening to some of the wonderful podcasts that are available on the Masi website. And I urge our listeners to seek these as well, which really tell in detail so many things about what has happened with the family over 250 years. So it's something to be very proud of. Now, Sandro, 250 years, if my mathematics is correct, goes back to 1773. So your area of Verona, all of the Veneto, was a proud part of the Venetian Republic. This was prior to the occupation of the Austrians. Is my history correct?
Yes, it is. There is something in the middle, even most important, probably. In 1797, Napoleon and the French, they fell down the Republic of Venice, and for a few years, our region had been a part of the Empire of Napoleon. And in a way that we had here close to us in Valpolicella, the strong battle of Rivoli. That's why there is a victory of Napoleon's army. That's why in Paris, one of the major and the central road is Rue de Rivoli. It's very close, a few kilometers from the Masi vineyards.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Many, they don't know what means Rue de Rivoli.
Yeah, such a famous road in Paris.
Yeah, there is a village. Actually, we have a vineyard there in Rivoli. It's a nice place just entering in the Valley of Adige, which is the river that comes from Austria, from north. And that's why for Napoleon was very important to fight there, the Austro-Hungarian.
Okay, it was a very strategic point.
Absolutely.
Now, Sandro, I'd like to go back only about 60 years or so. So only a brief part of that, 250 years, but perhaps the most important part. I'm going back to thinking about how wine, Italian wine, and wine in the Valpolicella was so very different then and perceived very differently. Now, tell me about when you were a student in Milano and drinking wine in bars. There wasn't much choice then, was there?
No. It was really, you are right, Mark. This is an example to tell to your followers the dramatic difference between the Italian enology on wine section in that time. And we speak not about millennium or so ago, just 60 years ago, and today. At that time, I remember, for example, we used to go on the evening just for a glass of wine with my friends in a Trani. It was the name of one what today is wine bar, but in Italian today, many they call today either osteria. The place to drink wines. The wine chart, the wine selection was very simple and was written in a three small barrel, vin scur, vin char, vin gros. Wine dark, which means the wine from south of Italy. Vin char, wine clare, or wine light in a color, that was usually the wine from the Lake of Garda and from our area, Valpolicella, Bardolino. So our wines from the eastern part, northern eastern part of Italy. And vin gros, it was the wine more robust from Piedmont and more also black like Barbera, Fraser, these wines from the western part of Italy.
Oh, that's a fascinating story.
From that time, you know, it came later the new regulation of Appellation Contrôlée, and today we are probably at the extreme paradox with 600 and more than 600 appellation in Italy, which is really crazy, because there are few very important, known even in the past. Valpolicella is one, but Chianti, of course, is very important like that. The area of Barolo and Barbaresco and many others, but some are unknown and are just made for political reason, intending to give a gift to the certain inhabitants of certain territory. But of course, if the wine is not known, and if there is no possibility to expand the distribution in the world, it's just a name that nobody that remain on the paper.
Yes, I think that's why Italian wine can still be very confusing for people coming to it for the first time.
You are perfectly right. We need really to try to put together the reality of wines that are good from a vocate area, but also known in the world. All the rest make only confusion.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Sandro, actually, this was an interesting time because it was also around Italy's economic miracle, and it saw the rise of industrial wine production. Industrial wine production from the Pianura of Verona, where high-yielding vines were planted, and vast quantities of Valpolicella, Suave, Bardolino were being sent around the world. But of course, at the same time, the classic heartland of Valpolicella, where you're located, these hill vineyards that are so much more difficult to work, cultivated on the dry stone terraces, this was being devalued by the success of the wines from the Pianura.
Yeah, it's true. The question mark is, should we remain linked to the values of the soil that produce grapes, or is just the appellation that gave value to the wine. Of course, we have to start from the best located vineyard on the hills, and consequently, the wine will be great appreciate, but we should stop there. Not when the appellation is appreciated, then I add more and more outside the historic classic area, as has been done in Porto Valpolicella, the Bardolino, and the Soave, all the three. In particular, Soave, I have to say. But this, of course, it remains just one name, well-known name, but sometimes it's difficult to find the proper link between the name and the original values of the wine that is in the bottle.
And in many ways, this was the work that you set out to do when you joined the family company, to reclaim an ancient vinous heritage and patrimony that goes back to the Roman times.
Absolutely. And this is, it was my approach, let's see, the original approach. It's different what happened in California from what happened in Chile or even in other areas in Italy. For example, even in Toscana, the area of Bolgheri that had been planted recently. We have the plantation of the vineyard in our region. It go forever. We were now studying, really Mazid is one of the supporters of this, the possible shares of a place where have been cultivated grapes 6,000 years before Christ. And we are looking now, hopefully we can prove that that seeds of the vineyard represented the ancestor of Amarone. It would be fantastic. But in this situation where all the major and the more vocate vineyards have been planted for centuries, of course, in the history, we can find the appreciation of our ancestors for centuries, looking to the best places and describing what is really great from what is mediocre or what is good but not exceptional. And so going through the history, even in French, they did the same when they made the great selection of Grand Cru, Grand Cru Cartier, etc., etc. And we don't have, unfortunately, this kind of legal delimitation, but I know personally, and our technician know, that there are some areas that are great, great areas. And the history gave us the right. It's a sort of proof that we have that what we find today, great wine, have been found 200, 300 years ago by our ancestors, and they took memories of that. This case is the case of, for example, the two great, our single vineyard, Campo Longo di Torbe and Mazzano. We found documents at the end of 12th century describing that this place had been considered the producer of the best wines in the valley of Negrar in Valpolicella Classica, as well when we have the memories of Serego Alighieri Estates. Vaio Armarone is described in the purchase document from 1353, when the son of the poet Dante Alighieri bought this large estate in Valpolicella. All this gave us a precise system to delimitate the area and the vineyard. Of course, it's not enough. Today, we can prove and we can check also with in a technician way. But of course, this has happened because we can start from historic references.
I think that's absolutely fascinating, Sandro, that the scientific technology that you have today confirms what was found in documents in the 12th century. I remember you explaining to me about looking at church ties, for example.
Absolutely.
The church would always specify the best wines. They wanted the best wines, not any old wines. And yet these vineyards are still producing the flagship wines of Mazzi.
Absolutely. And this is, in my way, also because of my study of classics. But I am totally convinced that in an historic area, this is not just in Italy, even in Germany. And sometimes through the church, really, thank the church that at that time they own great properties in the best area, we can have a precise indication where is good and where is less good.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's a really interesting story of how from this time 60 years ago, over that period, Sandro, we've seen Valpolicella now rightly take its place on the world stage of amongst the greatest wines in the world, something that happened while you've been working in the company.
Yes, it's true. The movement of relaunch the ancient traditional winemaking method and the varieties of grapes typical of the area is quite recent. But myself and Mazzi play a great role on this. For example, on discovering the ancient variety Oseletta that totally disappeared. Nobody after the phylloxera time took the responsibility to replant for many reasons. First of all, because of the low crop of this great variety. Now, being restored, after that I had the chance to rediscover four vine not attacked by the phylloxera, and through the Italian Center of Viticulture in Conegliano Veneto, we made the research. I was the first to have the chance to replant, and now is represent a great possibility to give a backbone in a wine like Valpolicella or Amarone, giving more modernity to our wines. But also what had been done, and Mazzi was the first really, coming with a 1983 Amarone as a modern style of Amarone. Which means modern style of Amarone? Is a wine that had been checked everywhere from the selection of the vineyard, selection of the best bunches, a new way, more accurate to make this unique way of making wine that we call appassimento, the drying of the grapes, making in a specific sites, controlling the humidity, the temperature, in order not the grapes are not attacked with a mold, and then making totally in a new way a very speedy fermentation that in the past was left to be wild, and the wine, of course, as a result, was sometimes very, very oxidated. So put more care and not consider certain taste and smell of the wine as part of the tradition, when instead they were part of a not accurate approach to the winemaking.
Italian Wine Podcast. If you think you love wine as much as we do, then give us a like and a follow anywhere you get your pods.
So taking this ancient method of making wine from semi-dried grapes, but bringing it into a more modern style that consumers can enjoy.
Absolutely. And the results is what you said rightly a few minutes ago. Today, the Veronese wine, even this fantastic wine, the name is Amarone, or the sweet version, Recioto, They are very, very clean and approachable for the contemporary consumer.
Sandro, you are known as Mr. Amarone because you have taken this great and very special wine all around the world. Now tell us briefly, what makes Amarone such a special wine and why it is unique in the world?
I would explain it this way. Amarone, a historic wine. Of course, historic wine means that have been considered a great wine in the history, but it's not enough. What is really important today is with the history, we can really have a great storytelling, which is very important to show the uniqueness and to show this appreciation as well the winemaking method, the original winemaking method. But the second point after the historic wine is a unique wine. Why is unique wine? Because of the production area. Amarone can be produced only in a very small area that you know very well, Mark, the Valpolicella Classica Hills. Why? Because of the special climatic condition, the mountain, the Dolomites that protect from the frost of the north that should come from Austria and Germany, but also the vicinity of Lake of Garda that give a special influence to the climatic condition. Second point, the variety of grapes, not international variety of grapes, but indigenous variety of grapes, Corvina, Rondinella, Molinara, the most important, that are typical of our area since centuries and centuries ago. Another point is the winemaking method, what we call appassimento. So, in this specific climatic area, with these grapes, we can make a drying process that make emphasis not only to the power of the wine, but to the style of the wine. And the style of the wine is another uniqueness of Amarone. Amarone is Amarone because it's a gentle giant. So it's a big, it's high in alcohol after the drying process and the concentration of the sugar. But it's a gentle giant because at 16 in alcohol, still it keep a lot of velvet and is not very high in tannic. Is not very high in acidity. It's really always round and soft. But it's also, it gives an illusion of sweetness that is absolutely unique. When you smell an Amarone, even a new Amarone after 2 or 3 years, you have the sensation that you are approaching a sweet wine. Instead, it's totally dry. No residual sugar is usually our Amarone is around 5-6 gram maximum. So is this illusion of sweetness that is part of the charm of this wine.
Yes, and it's you've described that beautifully. It's that power with that velvety quality, that gentleness that makes it so unique, and yet at the same time, so complex and fascinating. Sandro, you have spent your life going around the world teaching people about this unique corner of Italy, the Valpolicella Classica, about Amarone. In a sense, you're precisely in the tradition of those intrepid and entrepreneurial Venetian traders who went far and wide to sell their wares and sailed the Mediterranean and were such incredible entrepreneurs. You were even one of the first to sell wine to China. And to do so, you took a Venetian gondola packed with your wines to Beijing, along with another friend of mine, Gabriele Ferron from Isola della Scala, to teach the Chinese how to cook rice Venetian style. Tell us about this.
Absolutely. You remember very well, Mark, a story a long time ago. And this happened exactly a few months after that China had been reopened to the visitors. And Kempinski Hotel, it was just open in Beijing. And the director and the chef of this this hotel, great hotel, they were in charge to open an Italian restaurant with the name Gondola. And so it came to me immediately, and I said, if I was looking actually to open the market and to find our importer. And I said, if I come and I give a gift to you with a real gondola to put on the middle of the entrance of the hotel, can you organize for us 1 week, for example, of a Venetian kitchen with our wines? And they say, of course, it would be something very interesting for us. And in fact, I stuffed in a container a gondola that it looked like a small boat, but instead is 12 meters long. And so I put it in a, and to keep together in the container, I put around 650 cases of wine. This case of wine was the first wine from Verona shipped in China, really, including Amarone, but also Valpolicella, some Soave, and so. And our friends, Gabriele Ferron, I asked him, come with me and we can teach the Chinese how to cook different rice with wine, but without wine either. And in fact, it was a great success that after 1 week, I left because of all my commitments. But Ferron, they asked him to remain another week, and he went to the great walls to make the rice, the risotto, in that place. It was really funny to see the interest of the gondola, incredible. Everybody want to go to the gondola, take the picture, and as well, really, to the appreciation of wine and the rice and the risotto. First, the first day, 2 days, came the expatriate from Italy, from the United States. And so the second, the day after, came the secretary of these people, mainly Chinese. And then the Chinese family start to come. So it was really a great opportunity to show our tradition in a wine and food. And it was for me a great opportunity to find immediately the very large and one of the best among the few importers organization in China. So it was, a costly, but it was a vision.
Yes. What a fascinating story. That sounds like it must have been so fun to do.
We came spoke about Marco Polo in the 12th century, that he started from Venice and he went in China, discovering really the China and making connection between Europe and China. So now Amarone did the same after 8th century.
Now, Sandro, I would also like to touch on a very close personal relationship. You've mentioned already that you have with your neighboring property, the Serego Alighieri estate. This is one of the most historic wineries in Italy and the world. And you have developed a very strong personal relationship and friendship with Conte Pier Alvise. Tell us about this.
See, I have to say that the story go back before me and before Pier Alvise, with the father of Pier Alvise, the Conte Dante, and my father. They we have our vineyards, neighbor vineyards. So the Conte used to sell part of the own grapes to my father. And when I started to work, I said to my father, why you use this these grapes, but we don't we cannot use an historic and very high reputed noble brand like Cerego Alighieri. So in 1973, we made an agreement with the Count Dante to make wine under our supervision, technical supervision, and then to commercialize the wine. In the beginning, we did a lot of restoration in the vineyard, in the cellar, but with 1979, we came out with the first Vaio Armarone historic cru in Valpolicella, and was really immediately a great success because it's such a fantastic wine, keeping the tradition of the Cerego Alighieri estate. For example, one of the variety, Molinara, is a very special clone. Name is Cerego Alighieri because they are keeping jealously this clone of wine grapes since long, and they keep a secret, which is a little different from the usual Molinara. But more than that, I found one system that is still, I think, almost unique in the world to age, to mature the Amarone, as well the other reds, in a cherry wood cask. And still, we continue to have this 3 or 4 months, no more than that, where the wine go to maturation in a cask with this specific wood barrel of cherries that give an underline to the typical character of cherry of Valpolicella. So after that initial contact, we went over replanting new vineyards in the estate Cerego Alighieri, but also to restore large part of the villa, the fantastic villa in Valpolicella, and we came out with the first example in the area of wine tourism. Let's see, making this Relais Chateau to host the people, the foreign, in particular a lot of German, come to our area and the Lake of Garda and Valpolicella, but also to sell the wine, to make wine and food pairing school or courses, and to test the wine. It's really a lot of things that make this our combination being the first really to start the modern acclaim Turismo del Vino.
Yes, very, very important. In fact, and very enjoyable. I recall some wonderful meals in the foresteria di Cerego Alighieri of pairing of traditional foods of Verona, risotto alla Amarone, for example, with the wonderful wine. So it's one of the great ways to, I think, really experience a wine region. And in fact, that leads me to my final question briefly, because I know we've run out of time a little bit, but just about the importance of wine tourism for Mazzi and the Mazzi wine experience.
Yes, it's extremely important, and we consider this approach, direct approach of the consumer, the touch of what we have to do today to give the first hand information to our consumers. And it's everybody today. They don't want just to drink a wine. They want to make an experience. The experience of one territory, the experience of one style to do in a family, to do business, the experience to make wine and food combination. So the holistic approach to a territory, to really, through a glass of wine, to recognize on deep the values of the area. And in fact, a few years ago, we formed part of the business, the Masi Wine Experience. And we started with our original approach at Serre Guadiglieri. Still, it remains our head of these sites for Masi Experience. But then we opened another very important wine experience sites in the Lake of Garda, the Tenuta Canova in Lazise del Garda, where you can have same approach, tasting of wine, school cooking school, pairing wine and food, but also a small museum and a visit of the vineyard, the cellar with the explanation. But we are doing the same in a recent acquisition we had in the area of Valdobbiadene, the Prosecco original historic area in the hills of Prosecco. Canevel is the name of our estate. But also, we open two wine bar with our wines, and this same approach to the experience of the Verona and the Venetian area, one in Zurich, one in recent in Munich, Bavaria, in Germany, and one in the ski area where the Olympia Games, which will be in the 2026, Cortina d'Ampezzo in the Dolomites. And we are totally convinced that this is the best way to promote our wines, but also the best way to let the consumer to understand that behind the glass of wine or a bottle of wine, there is a lot of passion, a lot of also technology, a lot of history in our case, and a lot of gioia di vivere, joie de vivre.
Actually, that's a wonderful way to end our talk today, Sandro. I think you've given that feeling of passion, history, the joy of wine, and technology, the importance of being scientific and precise in winemaking, beautifully in our talk. I know that our many listeners around the world, and the Italian Wine Podcast has now received over 5 million listens. So I know that our listeners will be eager to discover your wines wherever they are and to visit when they come to the beautiful Valpolicella Classica area. Sandro, I'm personally so glad to be in touch with you again, and I'm looking forward to meeting you sometime soon. So thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for your word. And really, I appreciate a lot this kind of conversation. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao. A presto, Sandro.
Ciao, a presto.
Ciao.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe right here or wherever you get your pods. Likewise, you can visit us at italianwinepodcast.com. Until next time, chin chin.